So we're going to do Daf Pei Beis in Erevin. So the Gemara beforehand was talking about whether or not we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah had said by Erev Tchumen you don't need the Das, you don't need the people that are involved in benefiting from the Erev, you don't need their agreement. But if you're dealing with, that's talking about by Erev Chatzeres where everybody benefits. But if you're dealing with Erev Tchumen, which is only is beneficial on the one hand but detrimental on the other hand, that you need people to give their agreement with. And the issue was whether it's Rabbi Yehuda coming to define and expand on what the Chachamim said, or is Rabbi Yehuda arguing and adding a different point, and the Chachamim therefore would be saying that you always need the Haskamah and the agreement of everybody else. So that was the end of Daf Pei Aleph. So now, starting from the second line on the top of Pei Beis and Aleph, in Masechus Erevin, Zok the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rabbi Shulben Levi, Kol Mokom Sha'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emesai Ubameh. Anytime Rabbi Yehuda uses the words, either the word Emesai or the word Ubameh, in the Mishnah, B'Mishnah Seinu, in our Mishnah, Eina El Lefarish Dibre Chachamim. He's not coming to argue on what the Chachamim said beforehand, but rather he's coming to expand and further explain what the Chachamim Shita is. So he's not coming to argue. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Emesai Lefarish. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, depends. If he uses the word Emesai to explain the Chachamim, then it's a further explanation. Ubameh, but if he uses the word Ubameh, L'chalek, then he's coming to argue on what the Chachamim beforehand had to say. So the Gemara says, but Emesai Lefarishu, so you're telling me that anytime it says the word Emesai, it's coming to explain? Batanan, I'll bring you a Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Emesai and it's not coming to explain. Batanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Ve'elohen Apsulin, the following people are puzzled to say Edus. This is a famous Mishnah, Masachik Bekuvya, somebody who plays with dice, so he's a betting man, Umalva Beribis, somebody who lends another yid with ribbis, which of course is an esoteric, which the explanation of course is that he doesn't care about other people's money. Umafricha yoinim, also somebody who bets on birds, who's going to win, v'seichre shvius, and somebody who does iser, and he sells food that's left over from shvius, which is aser to sell. In any event, so he doesn't care about money matters, therefore he's not trusted to give testimony about money matters as well. However, that's the Chacham Shita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emesai. See, Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Emesai, and he says, when is that true that we say that they're possible to say Edus Bezman Sheim Lagumnas Elohu Elohi? That the only profession that they have is this. This is how they make their money. So therefore, they're not tuned in to how regular people make money. But if they have another profession, so they know what it's like to be out in the business world, Harezeh Kosher, he's going to be kosher. So fine. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the Chachamim Shita is really limited to a case where that's their only livelihood. But Tani Alava Brais, and we learn in a Brais that the Chachamim Maimrim and the Chachamim disagree, and they say Ben Sheein Lo Yumnas Elohi, whether he doesn't have any other profession, or Ben Sheyesh Lo Yumnas Shalohi, or he does have another profession, I raise that puzzle, he's going to be puzzled. So we see clearly that it's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, even though Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Emesai. So we see even in the context of using the word Emesai, he's being chaylik. So the Gemara answers, no, really, Rabbi Yehuda, when he uses the word Emesai, is coming to agree and expand. Hahid, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Tarfon Hi. That point is going according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav Tarfon. The Tanya we learned in Abayis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rav Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda, when he says in the name of Rav Tarfon, La'olam ein echad mehen nozer. Now, this is a totally different Mishnah, but the point is that we see that sometimes Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rav Tarfon Shita, and when he's quoting Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Tarfon Shita, Anachanami, in that case, he's coming to argue. Because it says, La'olam ein echad mehen nozer. This is talking about a case where two people are sitting around, and one person says, I'm a nozer if it rains, and the other person says, I'm a nozer if it doesn't rain. In other words, one of them is for sure right, and one of them is for sure wrong. And we say, Rabbi Yehuda says, neither of them become a nozer using that language. Because naziris has to be, when you say it, has to be outright clear what you meant. And as opposed to the chachamim saying, no, that if the one who's right is going to be a nozer. But the point is, almak even if a safkalei, he nozer eloi nozer, who when we're mesupik, we're not sure whether or not he's going to be a nozer. Loi mishabe nafshei, a person doesn't give himself over and say that this is the way it should be 100%. So therefore, hachanami kivin de lo yada yikani loykani. So the same thing over here also. The problem, the issue over here, when you're a betting person, is that you don't know whether or not when you gave the money you're going to win or you're going to lose. So loy gomer machne. So you don't have a complete gmar das. You don't have a final thought that you're really going to give away the money. So when the person takes the money, when you lose the bet and the person takes the money, he's really stealing from you because you never really meant to give it to him. So that's Reb Yehuda in the name of Reb Tarfin. That's Reb Tarfin's shita, that what makes you into a gazlan is when you're not sure about what you're doing, you don't think that you're really going to end up doing it. And that's a chasan in your das, and that makes the person who takes it or gives it, the person who takes it is going to be a ganav. In any event, however, Reb Yehuda shita himself, it could be that Reb Yehuda, anytime he uses the word emesai, that it would be a further explanation if Reb Yehuda is saying things in the name of himself and not quoting Reb Tarfin. Hadron al-Achaloin, that's the end of the Hadron al-Achaloin. The next parak starts. Ketzad mishtatzen b'tchumim. How does a person make a tchum and put an Erev tchum down in a way that other people are able to use the Erev as well? Meniach as a chavis, he puts a barrel, and Rashi says the barrel could be filled with anything. It's not necessarily a liquid or wine or oil. V'oimer harei zeh l'chol b'nei yiri, this food should be used for anybody in my city. L'chol mi sheyelech l'beis ha'ovel, anybody who has to travel to Beis Novel in this direction, or the Beis HaMishto, he has to go to a Simcha. V'chol shekibel olav mi b'ayjoim, and anybody in the city who accepted upon himself to use that Erev while it was still daytime, meaning on Friday, mutter. Then it's mutter for him to use that Erev. Mishay Tevshach, but if he only thought about it or knew about it after, we'll see in the Gemara, after it became nightfall, also she'em arv mishatechshach, because you can't make an erev tchumim after Shabbos already starts. It has to be done erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi, ein arv and elo dvar mitzvah." Rabbi Yosi says that the only time you're really allowed to use an erev is if the purpose of the erev is for dvar mitzvah, meaning that the place you're traveling to involves a mitzvah. So my kamash malon tanina, that's what are you teaching us? That's what our Mishnah says. It says l'chol mi sheyelech l'beis ha'ovel or l'beis ha'mishnah. The examples that our Mishnah gives are both for a mitzvah involved. So ma the tema orchid milsa. You might think that the Mishnah just used those as classic examples. Katani, and that's why it said them. Kamash malon, that it's no, it really means it's dafka. It's not just an example. It's an example because that's the only example that works. Just as an aside, Most of the Rishonim and the Mishnah Berurah paskins that to make it into a Dvar Mitzvah were very makel. Anything that the Mishnah Berurah says, anything that brings you Oinig Shabbos is mutter. So, for example, if you wanted to go for a walk and your walk involved going out of the Tchum, that would also Oinig Shabbos is enough of a Dvar Mitzvah in order to make it mutter. The other Rishonim gives specific examples that you're going to visit a friend and things like that. That also is considered if there's a mitzvah involved, it has to be a mitzvah. But the point is, you can't use a tchum if it has no purpose. If you really don't want to be walking there, or you're walking there for a purpose which is clearly not for mitzvah, like to check on something or something like that, that's not going to be mutter. But you do need to be a dvar mitzvah. But we're very makel on what we take. We expand what the definition of dvar mitzvah is very liberally. Okay, and the Gemara continues like this. The next line of the Mishnah is, "V'chol shekibel olav mibayjoim." If somebody accepted upon himself the Erev, Erev Shabbos, then it works. Shema mino, ein breira. So that proves that there's no breira. Breira means that you can make the decision at a later time, and retroactively, this is what you meant all along. So it must be. But the fact that you had accepted your Erev, Erev Shabbos, means you had to make the decision Erev Shabbos. You can't wait till later to make a decision retroactively. Why do yeish breira? Because if you held that there was breira, you can make the decision later to glory Muslim Amafreya. Let it be revealed retroactively. That he really meant, that's what he really wanted all along. I made my decision on Shabbos that I really wanted to do this Erev Shabbos. So by the fact that it says you had to be Makabel Dafka Erev Shabbos is a raya that it doesn't work. That breira doesn't work. So Rav Ashi, no. Rav Ashi says, really, you could hold that there is Yesh breira. But you have to change the words, the girsa in the Mishnah. Not that he was Makabal Erev Shabbos, that he knew about it Erev Shabbos. So if he knew about it Erev Shabbos, you could say that he makes the decision on Shabbos retroactive to when it would be Chal on Erev Shabbos. If he didn't know about it Bechlal, then of course he can't say that's what I meant all along if you didn't know. So Rav Ashi changes the girsa. Nugmar, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi now says, Katan Ben Sheish, if you have a child who's only 6 or less years old, Yotze Be'eruv, he could be Yotze with his mother's Eruv, meaning that if his mother made an Erev and he did not, and she didn't have him in mind, he's automatically included, because the child follows the mother. The mother says, Meisvei, but I'll ask you a theory, contradiction. Katan shetzarech le'imoy, a child, a young child that needs his mother, yotze be'erev imoy, then he is included in his mother's Erev. V'shein etzarech le'imoy, but if he doesn't need his mother, in yotze be'erev imoy, then he's not included in his mother's Erev. So it depends whether he needs his mother or not, but it's not namigabe sukkah. And similarly, we find by sukkah, whether you're chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah, ki agav, a similar type of example, explanation. Katan she'ein tzarech le'imoy chayv b'sukkah. If a child no longer requires his mother with him, then he becomes a chayv, at least al tchinuch. He becomes chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah. V'avinabah, we explain. At what age do we say is you don't need your mother anymore? Amar devei Rabbi Yanai, so Rabbi Yanai says, kol shenifna ve'ini min v'kan chosoy. If the child is old enough that when he goes to the bathroom, he doesn't need his mother to clean him. So that child is independent enough and doesn't need his mother. That's the first shita. That's Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Shimon ben Malka shomer, kol sheniyar ve'ina kaira imo. Any child that wakes up in the middle of the night and doesn't say, call for his mother. So that's considered old enough. So imo sakadait, if the child doesn't say mommy when he wakes up, even older children, even much older than that, so when they wake up in the middle of the night, if they're not happy, they call for their mother. But rather, you should say, what do we mean? That it means somebody wakes up from his sleep, and doesn't continuously call mommy until his mother actually comes. Like a little child will just keep on calling until his mother calls. An older child will, you know, when they wake up, they say, oh, mommy. But then they'll realize it's the middle of the night, they'll go back to sleep. In any event, that's the comma. And how old is that? Kibar Arba, Kibar Chomesh. That age is considered 4 or 5 years old, which is much younger than 6 that we just said before. So that's the contradiction. Here we see that it's Katan that is considered dependent on his mother is at 4 or 5, and not as young as 6. Amar Rav Yeshua Berei Derev Idi. So we have a stira because Rav Ashi said 6 years old. Kika Amar Rav Ashi. When did Rav Ashi say you need 6? Ganshi Irav Alav Oviv Litzafin. The case is specifically where the father made an Erev to the north, the Ime Ladarim and his mother went to the south. And now the question is, which one is the child going to follow? So we say that a six-year-old would rather go with his mother. It's not saying that a six-year-old is necessarily automatically included with his mother, but if the child's going to be left home alone, he has to choose between the father and the mother, he's going to choose the mother up to, usually, normally up to the age of 6. So Meisvei, but I'll ask you a stira on that also. If you have a young child that needs his mother's help, is included with his mother automatically. Ad ben shesh. So that's until 6 years old. Tiyufta the Rabbi Yeshua by Rav Idi. Tiyufta that shlugs up Rav Idi. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua was trying to make a chilek between 4 or 5 years old and a 6 year old, depending on whether he's going to be left alone. Here we see that the Mishnah Brisa says the Feirish that until 6, no matter what, until 6 is automatically included with his mother. No matter what. So Lema Tayavat Yufta the Ravasi. So maybe this should also slug up Ravasi, because Ravasi says that you have to be 6. Amalach Ravashi Advaz Zichlal. No, Ravasi says, when I said 6, I meant 6 also. I didn't mean up to 6 years old. I meant not ad until 6 years old, I meant including 6 years old. Okay. Lema Tayavat Yufta the Ravyana Veresh Lakish. Maybe it should slug up Ravyana and Veresh Lakish with the Shitas on Amar Aleph that says that the mother, that he wakes in the middle of the night, or that his mother has to clean him, which is 4 or 5 years old, which is a much younger age. So when I say, answer is like Kasha Hadi Isa Abu Abimasa Hadalo Isa Abu Adabasa. It depends on whether the father's at home. See, if the it depends on whether the kid has somebody to stay with. That if the father's at home and he's already 4 or 5 years old, okay, so 5 years old he could stay home with the father. But of course, if the father is not home, there's nobody home, and the mother's going out, then even a 5 or even a 6 year old is going to have to go with the mother. It's not going to stay by themselves. So that's the bottom line, that the mother includes the kid 4 or 5 if she's going out by herself, but even 6 years old if there's nobody left at home to watch the child, then a 6 year old is automatically included with the mother's Erev. Nu Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'ariv Adam Ayidei Benoy Uvita Ketanim. So we said this is back onto the concept that the Mishnah discussed, that you have to have the das, you have to have the person's knowledge when you make an Erev for them. So a person makes an Erev Ayidei Benoy Uvita Ketanim. He can make an heir for his young children even without asking them. Or a slave, because whether they know about it or not, because they're meshubed, they follow the master. You can't make an heir for the sake of your Yiddish, the Jewish slaves. You can't automatically include your older children because they have their own opinion. You can't include your wife either, unless they give their knowledge. Okay, that's the first brisa. Tanya, we learned another brisa. Lo ya'arev odom alidei benoi b'tai gedolim. You can't include your older children in the erev alidei avdei b'shivchata evrim, and also you can't include your Jewish slaves, they're independent. Lo ya'arev ishtoi elami daiton, and you can't include your wife unless she gives, all these people, unless they give their agreement. Avam ma'arev alidei avdei b'shivchata ekman, you can include a slave alidei b'tai ekatanim, and also you can include your younger children, whether or not they have gave their opinion, because they're included in your hand. However, here's the clincher, but all of them, if you made the Erev Aleh and Rabban, let's say they went ahead and made their own Erev, and then their master also made an Erev in another direction, Yoytzin B'shel Rabban, then they are included in their, in other words, even the Jewish slaves, for example, are included in their master's Erev because their master wants them to go in that direction. Chutzmina Isha, except for a woman, because a woman is able to say, no, I'm not interested. I'm not, no thank you. She's able to disagree. So now, let's understand that. So we said that usually then a gadol is not included. If the master went ahead and made an Erev in another direction, then it is included in the master. So it doesn't make a difference. So it doesn't make sense. Maishna, what's the difference between a woman and a gadol? If we say if a woman has independence, all gedolim have independence. All Jewish, even slaves and the gedolim have their independence. What's the difference between the woman and the other gedolim? So I'm a rabba, isha v'chol d'gamilo, and a chanami. It doesn't mean just a woman. It means a woman and all, and or anybody who's compared to her, meaning that they're a gadol and they're allowed to give their own das, their own opinion. So I'm a mar. But we said before, chutz mina isha mepnei sheyichayu limchoyz. It's all that the only example, the only exception to the rule is a woman because she's able to make a macha. Time of the machi, it's only because she dafka made a macha, hastama nafka. Macha means she complained and said, no, thank you. Hastama, but she doesn't say anything, she keeps quiet. Nafka b'dabala. She can be included in her husband automatically. Salkatani resha elamidaitam. But the beginning of the brisa started off, this is the contradiction in the brisa itself, but the beginning of the brisa started off says that they have to have their knowledge. So what is it? Is being quiet included in their knowledge, or and only if she says no, that's a problem? Or even just being quiet is not specifically their knowledge. My love, the Amri in. When we say that you have to have knowledge, usually it means that I'm saying yes, I want to be included. So the Gemara answers, loy, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that my knowledge means I specifically say this, I want to be included. My elami daitum, what does it mean that I want that I have to have the knowledge? The ishtiku, that they kept quiet, la fuke hechad amri loy, excluding the case where they say no thank you, then they're clearly not included. So the Gemara says, okay, that seems like a very logical teretz. The problem is how the kulin she'irva the irvan aleim rabon, but the end of the brisa says that if they went ahead and made their own eruv and the master made his own eruv, yoytzin b'shal rabon, they're included in the rabbi, the stamahu, in that case is a case where they kept quiet because they didn't say no thank you. Uketani chutz mina isha, and it says the only exception to that rule is a woman. So we see the lainafka that she can't use their Erev. So we see that when you keep quiet, everybody else is automatically included even though they didn't say yes. And we said the beginning of the brisa says midaitan means that they have to specifically say yes, I want to be included in the Erev. So the Gemara finally answers, I'm a rov, akivin she'irvu, ein lecha mecha, gadol mizu. That enachanami, really, there is a difference between keeping quiet and saying no thank you. Keeping quiet is considered included in the Erev. However, this case is that they made, what was the case? The case was the master made an Erev in one direction and they made an Erev in the other direction. The fact that they made another Erev, that is the strongest statement of no thank you. You can't argue with that. If you're saying I want to go in the other direction, I don't have to actually say the words no thank you. It's a matter of fact that I went in the other direction, so it's automatically included. That's a no. But and a chanami, if I kept quiet, I didn't say anything, and I didn't do anything, that would be automatically included with the Erev. So that's the end of the sugya of having das, having the knowledge of the person you're making the Erev for. Now we start with the new concept, the cheshbon of how much is literally included, how big is the food, the loaf of bread that you're going to use for the Erev. So we have to start making some calculations here. Kama hu shiure mozon shtei seudas. So the Mishnah says, how much food is included in two seudas? How much is it? V'chol echad v'echad. For each person, when we say that each person has to be enough food for at least for each person to eat two meals, Remeir says it's the amount that a person would eat for two meals on a weekday, but not how much you would eat on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Shabbos, so it's just the opposite. It's the amount that you would eat on Shabbos and not how much you would eat during the week. And both the Rabbi Yehuda and Remeir both mean to give the shear, which is a lesser, smaller amount of bread. That makes it easier to make an Eruv. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda holds you eat less on Shabbos, and Rabbi Meir holds you eat less during the week. So those are the shirim that they give. Third shita, Rabbi Yechanan ben Baraika Omer, Mikikar bepunjan midal tsoin besela. Rabbi Yechanan says, it's the size of the loaf of bread that you would buy with the coin of a punjan, that's a value. If midal tsoin besela, if you calculate that it would take four saw, that you would be able to buy four saw to a seller. Which basically Rashi makes the cheshbon, which comes out that each that you get two seudos for a half, one pudjoin is a half a kav. That's the number you have to remember. According to Rabbi Yechanan ben Breiko, it comes out that two seudos are included in a half a kav. Reb Shimon disagrees and he says shtei yodos means two portions l'kikar, that you need two portions out of a loaf of bread mishalosh l'kav. Where it would take three loaves of bread to get to three loaves of bread would equal a kav of flour. In other words, he's saying that out of three loaves of bread you would get nine meals. So that means a third of that, of each loaf of bread represents two meals. So each loaf of bread is nine meals. And therefore, right, and a third is that means each loaf of bread, a third of it is a meal, which means two thirds is going to be your two sudas. So the Rav Shimon comes out to a smaller shear because in a third of a loaf of bread already he gets enough for the sudas. All right? Okay. So according to Rav Shimon, it comes out that a third of a loaf of bread is represented is your two sudas. Okay, chatzil abeis hamenuga, half of this size. Whether we're talking about Rabbi Yechanan ben Breiko, according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't matter which shita you follow. Half of that size of that loaf of bread is the amount of bread that you would have to eat. The time that it would take you to eat that loaf of bread would make you tameh if you go into a tameh house. Meaning, normally a person walks into a tameh house, as soon as he walks in, he becomes tameh. But the clothing that you're wearing don't necessarily become tummy. So you have to stay in the house the amount of time that it would take you to eat a half a loaf of bread. That is the amount of time that will make even the clothing on your back, the clothing that you're wearing, tummy as well. So it's half of the shear that we just gave. So if it's a loaf of bread, a half a loaf of bread is the amount of time that it takes you to eat a half a loaf of bread will make you tummy. The chatzi, and half of that size, meaning a quarter of a loaf of bread, lifso es hagvia, that makes you tummy. Now normally, a person who eats tummy food, really midaraisa, doesn't become tummy. However, the Rabbana made a gzera that if you eat enough tummy food, we say, you know what, now it's inappropriate for you to eat truma. So you have to go to the mikvah before you could eat truma. But really midaraisi yatar, except that when you eat an amount, how much? So a quarter of a loaf of bread, a half of the shear that we said per pras. Now by the way, anytime Rashi says anytime in Shas that we use the pras, the word pras, which means a piece, it means the half a loaf of bread that we discussed in the case where you go into a tamei house. Alright, we're going to get back to those shirim in a minute. Let's first talk about the loaves of bread. The Gemara says v'kama mozen shtei seudos. This is going according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Says, how much is that loaf of bread? It just says the smaller amount between the weekday and Shabbos day, but how much is it? Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Tarti Rifta. It's two loaves of bread achraisa. It's the size of loaves of bread that the people who go out to the work in the fields take with them for lunch. That size loaf of bread, two of those is enough for two sudas. Ravada, or that size loaf of bread. Ravada barahava omar tati rifta nahar pisa. It's two loaves of bread of the people. It was a size that they were familiar with from the nahar pisa. Fine. Amalei Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef brei to Rava. So Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, Abucha Kaman. So we were like, who did he hold like? So he answered to Rav Meir, he holds like Rav Meir that says that it's the smallest shear is during the week. So he says, I also hold like Rav Meir that the smallest shear is during the week. Because if you follow Rav Yehuda Shita that the smallest shear is on Shabbos, Tasha Hoda Ami Inshi, that will be difficult that people say, that there's more room for good tasting food. You know, like you always say, the dessert tastes better. There's always room for the dessert. So Rav Yehuda, there's a statement also that there's more room, and on Shabbos, since you eat better food, you're likely to eat more food. So he says that's why it's more logical to follow Rav Meir Shita, that during the week you end up eating a smaller shear. Rav Yochanan ben Breika Omer. So now we're going to go into the size. Rav Yochanan ben Breika says a half a kav, and Rav Shimon says a third of a kav. So Tanya, we learned in the Brayso, the Krezim Devayim Liyoy Shavim, that they're very similar, they're almost the same. The Gemara says, "Me dummy, how could you compare?" To Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, arbasu dasa l'kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, if you make the cheshbon, it comes out that if a half a kav is two sudos, then a whole kav is four sudos. To Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, that it's a third of a loaf of bread, tisha su dasa l'kav. You get nine. So what do you mean, four to nine? It doesn't compare. I'm Reb Chista, tzeimehen shlish l'chenvani. Take out a third that you give to the chenvani. In other words, when I give Chenvani is the store. I give him the ingredients. He bakes the bread for me and gives it back to me. He takes. Well, that's how he gets paid. He gets paid by taking a third. So when I get four meals out of a kav, really there are six meals in the kav, and he's taking a third. He's taking two of them and giving me four. But the loaf of bread really technically is enough for six meals. So the Gemara says Va'akati l'mar teisha l'mar shis. But that doesn't get you close enough because one's saying nine meals and one's saying not six meals. Still too far apart. Elikidus the Rav Chista. So it's another statement that Rav Chista says. Not that he takes a third, the storekeeper takes half. So if you double four meals times two is eight, it's still one says nine, and lamar tamni, and one says eight. So they're not the same. So the answer is kind of the comment of the kroivim devrayim liyoshavim. He still says, okay, that's what I meant. They're close enough. One saying eight, one saying nine. So that's almost the same thing. We can live with that amount. So the Gemara now says, bakasha de Rav Chista de Rav Chista. Because Rav Chista himself contradicted himself. In one place he says the storekeeper takes a third, in one case he says he takes a half. So which one is it, a half or a third? So my answer is like Kasha, Hodaka Yod Balabais Tzivi, Hodalo Yod Balabais Tzivi. It depends on whether the person, as we said, the case was I give him the ingredients, and he makes a loaf of bread for me, and he takes off his portion, and he gives it back. But there's other things involved than other than the ingredients, the flour, the eggs, and the water. It could also be it could also be the bread, the fuel, the wood. So that's what makes the difference in how much he takes. If I supply the fuel, if I supply the wood, so then he only takes a third. But if I don't supply the fuel, the baker himself has to add the fuel to the cost, so then his cost, he takes half of whatever he produces. And that's the difference. But the point is that it comes out that according to Riechen and Membrenke, you get eight meals. Theoretically, you get eight meals. You only walk away with four, but theoretically, you get eight. And according to Reb Shimon, you get nine meals to the kav, and you only a third of that is a ninth of that really is what you have two sudos. All right, so we'll stop here.